From the point of view of the Guard's leadership, its citizen soldiers and airmen have a lot to offer DOD's still evolving aims in the cyber arena. Among the pluses, both the Army and Air National Guard are building units that are made up of a significant number of people who've been working cyber in their civilian careers every day for years. They also offer the military a way to hang on to their best talent when they leave active duty instead of losing those people to the private sector. And they're stationed across the country. Indeed, General Frank Grass, the chief of the National Guard Bureau, says he's told the chiefs of the Army and Air Guard to create at least one National Guard cyber unit in all 54 states and territories, plus the District of Columbia.
And the governors have come on loud and clear about this as well. So I think we're on a good path. We're building it together. Building it in line with our federal mission will allow us to do that state mission.
Congress is also very interested in the issue. It's rare for an oversight hearing dealing with DOD cyber issues to wrap up without at least one question about the Guard's role in cyber defense. But Lieutenant General Stanley Clark, the director of the Air National Guard, says other key stakeholders in the Pentagon and elsewhere within the executive branch are beginning to see the Guard's role in cyberspace as valuable as the Guard's traditional advocates already do.
It's hard to explain how we do this with a largely part-time force to people who are not as familiar with the National Guard and how we accomplish our mission sets with the people. We're slowly working this in different ways of explaining it to people so that they will be more readily acceptable to putting more force structure in the Guard with the cyber mission set. We just have to prove how we do it efficiently and effectively with a different force structure than possibly what they're used to seeing. The power of us being involved in things like the Cyber Guard exercises, and we bring in people from OSD, the Joint Staff, and others to come watch how the Guard is involved with that, actually meet members of the Air National Guard based on largely civilian skill sets that they have and experience to do these mission sets and the ability to put the mandates in and crank up the rheostats on those units when you need them, when they're going to be a part of the force structure operationally day-to-day. It's a slow process. Our desire has outpaced the ability of an institution like the Department of Defense to accept us in these mission sets. But we're getting there. They're starting to see it more and more, and they're going, I think this is the right way. And I've heard people in OSD policies and others say, we get it. The National Guard can do this mission set. How much of it we're going to get? We're going to keep working at it.
The Guard is pitching its workforce as particularly well-suited to DOD's new cyber protection teams, the U.S. Cyber Command formations who are charged with defending U.S. critical infrastructure against cyber attack, since the goals fit nicely with the National Guard's traditional first responder and homeland defense missions. But General Mark Welsh, the Air Force's chief of staff, says he also sees the Air National Guard potentially taking on new missions that no one's spending much time thinking about right now, and that are more Air Force-centric as opposed to supporting Cyber Command or the states.
I'm very interested in big cyber, not little cyber. A little cyber is what we've been doing. It's technical support to human operations is where it began. It's very focused. It's very directed at a particular target or a particular server or a particular individual that you're trying to track through the virtual world. There's lots of organizations in our government who are really good at it. We don't need to do that. What we need to figure out is, as the Air Component Commander, in some future war when the big fight is on, how can you hit a button on your desk and make every enemy RPA fall out of the sky? How can you hit the big red cyber button and make every missile launched at the island of Guam turn 20 degrees right, 200 miles out, and land in the ocean? How do we do that? Because nobody's working those problems. Those are big cyber problems that Air Component Commanders ought to be worried about. So the first thing we have to do is clearly organize ourselves so that we have people worried about that and not just worried about providing support under Title 10 or Title 50 authorities for Cybercom and NSA. We start with that, and then we figure out who are the people who need to be doing that, and I think that is a total force effort.
On the Army side of the Guard structure, officials say they've already taken a couple of significant steps toward institutionalizing the National Guard's role on DOD's overall cyber force structure. The Army Guard has already contributed one cyber protection team of 39 soldiers to the federal mission, and in April, the National Guard and Army Cyber Command signed a memorandum of understanding that formalizes that team's set of missions. That same agreement lets the Army Guard explore the possibility of using its centralized training facility in North Little Rock, Arkansas, as one additional site to train the Army's teams for advanced cyber protection missions. Major General Judd Lyons, the acting director of the Army National Guard, says the Guard's existing team is already pursuing its advanced certification, and the Guard has agreed with Army leaders at the Pentagon to build 10 more traditional teams from National Guard forces.
They will be structured exactly like the Army's cyber protection teams, both in terms of MOSs and capability and mission sets. That concept plan is also in the staffing process in the Department of the Army. We hope to see that approved very soon. Again, that will codify those 10 teams. And it's very important, this is something that we continually stress, is that those 390 positions, 10 teams at 39 soldiers each, are already captured within our end strength. So this is not additional growth. And that removes a barrier and argument against those teams. So, once we get the approval for that concept plan, then we will solicit nomination packages from the 54 states, territories, and the district, and go through a process to determine stationing of those teams. So that's the next step.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com, and 1500 AM.